research, science, advancing knowledge has helped people all over the world to add years to our lives, and that is a fact. In so many countries in the world today, men and women are in fact living longer. In fact, this is creating problems for many countries which have to pay pension to thousands and millions of people that many years ago were not in the economic planning because people were not living that long. So it is a fact that, and that includes Jamaica, where people are in fact living longer. I have an aunt, she lives to be 99. My mother lives to be 93. My two grandmothers, one I think was 90 plus, the other one was 80 odd. And quite the other day, Brother Brown, we had a funeral for him. He was 99. So people are living longer. But do you know what? The greater challenge is not long life, but adding life to our years. That is the greater challenge. The art of living is not necessarily found in many years of existence. That is, living long does not really say a lot. Methuselah lived to be 969 years. But we have not read anywhere in the entire Bible where it is said that he accomplished anything worthwhile. Now this is striking when you compare what is said about the lives of other men and women in the Bible. In fact, the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is about men and women who lived and accomplished much for God. But Methuselah, who lived longer than any character in the Bible, nothing is said in respect to his achievement. Successful, abundant living is not dependent on mere education or secular knowledge. I repeat, if a person should reason, now education is a great tool. Yeah. Education is necessary. Yeah. Education is good. But don't ever be mistaken or reason that let me get a lot of education because it will add meaning and abundance to my life. There you will make a mistake. Because education does not of itself add meaning to life. In fact, knowledge in general does not necessarily add meaning and worth and purpose to life. Listen to the man who should know, Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 18. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 18.
For in much wisdom is much grief.
In much wisdom
is much grief.
There is much grief.
And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow.
You know, there are many of us who have had the experience where we wish we didn't know certain things. Truly. Truly. And even from the religious, the spiritual point of view, knowledge implies responsibility. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not shall be chastised with many stripes. He that knoweth not and doeth not will be chastised, but with few stripes. So you see, knowledge of itself does not give meaning and purpose to life. Another point is abundant. Meaningful, graceful living is not achieved in the accumulation of things. Christians continue to follow the thinking of the ungodly men and women, in thinking the more I can accumulate is the happier I will be. And they find out that the more they accumulate is the more unhappy they are. Yeah. Well, let me not go ahead of myself. Jesus Christ was warning you and me against this mistake. Wait. From time to time, I encourage you all here to balance the teachings of the Bible. Very important that you do not take one part of the Bible to destroy the teaching that is done in another part. When it comes to accumulation, the Almighty God expects us to utilize whatever opportunity He presents to us and to achieve. That's right. The Bible tells us that we must so labor that we will have for ourselves and be able to help others also. Now, but get this. Don't make the mistake in telling yourself that if you have a lot of houses and land and a lot of money, you're going to be happy. That's not so. That is in fact not so. There are a lot of people with a lot of money and houses and land that find their lives miserable. Just the challenge of managing what they have can be tormenting. That's right. So, abundant living, meaningful living. In fact, look at the passage in Luke, you know it, but let us remind ourselves, 12, verse 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15.
And he said unto them, take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth.
Everybody gets that? The word consist means depends on. Our life is not dependent on the much that we have. Meaningful living is not dependent on the much we have. I have known people upon people throughout my life who didn't have much, but they were happy. They were peaceful. They were contented. And I have known people who achieved, but they were so busy protecting their achievement and trying to achieve more that they didn't have any time for themselves, for their family. Please. So learn that abundant living is not found in achieving things. Too many wealthy, too many men and women who have achieved much, they are unhappy, they are miserable, and they are still searching for meaning and purpose in their lives. Just look in the entertainment world. Truly, just take a glimpse there. The men and women who have achieved so much, and they did not only turn to drugs, they dependent on drugs. And it ultimately destroyed them. Should I mention people like Michael Jackson? There is a ton load of lists. This recent, what's her name again? Whitney Houston. Why I mention her is that she was in fact a talented singer.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God. You know, she was in fact talented. There's no doubt that they achieve a lot of material things. And you think, that's the way we think, because we have not accumulated much, we think that if I could achieve like that person, a lot of money. But learn, they achieve the things that some of us ignorantly yearn for. But they were not contented. If they were, they wouldn't have to turn to drugs as a crutch. What it tells you is that there were discontent, dissatisfaction in their lives. May I, one of the sure basis, one of the sure foundation, one of the sure principle for abundant, meaningful, bounteous, purposeful living is having a solid, a sure center to revolve your life around. I'm going to go over that and I'm going to explain. In fact, the rest of the lesson will be spent explaining that. Jesus Christ came to give us not just mere life, but abundant living. It's you can call it enough life, but it's not enough in the sense of just pure quantity. It's enough in the sense of quality. But that, to achieve that, we are going to need to have, as I've just said, have as a basis for that life, as the foundation for that abundant living, for that meaningful living, for that purposeful living, for that bounteous living, is to have a solid and a sure center. That center is the center around which your life revolves. Watch here. That center means that whatever happens to you in life, that center will help you to find direction. Every life needs that. Every life needs a sure, a solid, unchangeable, immutable center. You can call it a port, because I might be using that as an illustration. You can call it the point where you anchor your life, and that means wherever the storms of life dash your life, because you have that center or that port or that anchor, you can always find direction. Admiral Byrd, spelled B-Y-R-D, told the story. Of course, this was a fact. He told the story about his first expedition to the South Pole. He reached a point where he put up his little hut. One day he stated he left this small, isolated hut to do a little exploration, you know, walking around at the South Pole to get more information. In a sudden blizzard, snow, of course it's cold, but in a sudden blizzard, he got hopelessly lost. Didn't know where he was and how to find his hut. There he had fire and all the little contents to preserve his life. But he didn't know where to find it because he was lost. In the vast whiteness, as he looked around, it was just whiteness. No, nothing to give him direction. I mean nothing. He realized, common sense taught him, that if he made any attempt to find his hut and fail, he would most likely freeze in the snow, because he needed something to give him direction. But he had a pole that he walked around with. It was carried, he brought it with him, and he used it to test how solid the snow was and where there was hole in the snow. He happened to have this pole with him when he got lost. He stuck the pole in the snow and he tied the scarf that he had tied around his neck. He tied the scarf on the pole. This became Admiral Bride's center. Wherever he walked in trying to find his hut, if he lost his way, because the pole he used was quite a few feet taller than he was, he could always look where the pole was and get back to it. He pointed out that he got lost 3 times, and in each case, it was the pole that gives him direction. He could always look and see the pole over there and went back to it. At the 4th attempt, he found his hut. That pole became his center. Yes, he got lost 3 times, he stated. But in each case, because he had that pole stuck in the snow and rise above him, he could always, once he find the pole, his center, he could always find his way back. And he did. Brothers and sisters, in fact, he said, that was my center. If I failed to find my hut, I could return to my center and try again. Three times I tried and failed, but each time I returned to my center, without which I would have been lost and freeze to death. May I? Many men and women today are without a center in life. Because, may I? You see, we need not just anything as center. We need something that does not move. We need something that does not change. We need something or someone that is immutable. Are we there? In fact, look at the passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and I think it's around verse 14 I need. let us hear that passage.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Hold it, Brother Blake. Read now. What I wanted was for others to find it. Read now.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
May I? This passage is telling us that God doesn't want us, his people, those who have accepted Jesus Christ, those who are followers of his, the Almighty God does not want us to live lives where we have no center. The Almighty God does not want us to be people. When he talks about tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, It's not only contemplating religious teaching, you know. The idea here is that the Christian life must be so centered and focused and directed that you and I are not easily swept off our feet by every dogmas. That's the child of God. That's what God wants. That our lives have a center. It has meaning. It has purpose. And that means whatever the challenges of life is, because we have a center. We are not tossed here and there with every political philosophy and dogma, with every religious philosophy and dogma. No, we Christians are not supposed to be like that. That's not what God wants, and that's what the passage the brothers just read is teaching. The child of God wants a center that is dependable, that is stable, that is constant, that is immutable. Look at James chapter 1, verse 17, and Hebrews 13:8.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness.
With whom there is no what?
Variableness. Neither shadow of turning.
Alike two words. I mean, alike everything in the verse. But there are two words that is relevant to what I am saying. Notice, the Bible wants to assure us that God does not change. And it uses two words. Read again, just those two, just the last line.
With whom is no variableness.
There is no variableness. Wait. There are variableness in us. Are we there? Some of us much more than others. Where we change. Country people would say, you change like the green lizard. We change. The Almighty God does not change. And the writer is giving us this as an assurance. With whom are in whom there is no variableness. You're not going to find any change in God. God is constant. Then the other word it used?
Neither shadow of turning.
That's right. That's saying the same thing, you know. Neither any shadow of changing or turning. Thank God for the God that we are trying to serve. Listen to the other passage now. Hebrews chapter 13:8.
Jesus Christ, same yesterday and today and
Wait,
forever.
Wait, start again, brother.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday.
Did I say that the center that we need to give us the chance to live the abundant life, the meaningful life, the purposeful life, the center that we need must be dependable, it must be stable, it must be constant, it must be immutable. So we have just had inspiration telling us about the Almighty God. Now here inspiration is telling us about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Say yesterday
and today
and forever.
Brothers and sisters, that is the center that we need to revolve our lives around. That's right. The life of the ungodly man, however he or she seems to be successful, does not have the center that we have to revolve our lives around. He does not remember Admiral Byrd. If he didn't plan that pole to give him direction, he would have gotten lost and freeze to death. Without Jesus Christ, we are lost. In fact, before we read that passage, every life, for that life to be safe, for that life to be secure, for that life to be directed, that life must have a center. That is a point of reference, like Admiral Byrd. His pole was his point of reference. For us, Jesus Christ and the gospel is our point of reference. Every life, I have said, must have a point of reference. There must be a home port. Are we there? A place we can return to wherever we go, whatever happens. A place we can return to for guidance, for direction, and security. We need a center. In mathematics, it is the decimal point. That's right. In English, well, not just English, in the literature of any language, that center is the grammatical laws that you can always refer back to understand what is being said. In morality and spirituality, Jesus Christ is that center. And every life needs that center around which we revolve our lives. That whatever happens, once you find your center, you can always find direction. Listen, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19.
that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
Watch here now. The brother has just read verse 18. He's going to read verse 19. Probably most likely the last passage in the lesson for tonight. He has just read verse 18. And we have fled. Where and for what, brother? Just start the command.
We who have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
You notice what we lay hold on? Hope. Most of us realize no hope, you live in despair. We lay hold on hope. Now, listen, verse 19.
Lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope?
Which hope?
We have as an anchor of the soul.
I like that. I could almost say it to the brother, don't read. Which hope? That is, you see, Jesus Christ is inevitably a part or constitute that hope. And it is lightening the life of the child of God to a ship. Huh? Notice this as I close. A ship must have a port that it sails to. And when it is not sailing, it must have an anchor. Are we there? Read, no brother, who will stop you?
Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endure, which entereth into that.
Didn't I tell you that the center in the life that we need must be dependable?
Amen.
It must be stable. It must be constant, and it must be immutable.
Yeah.
No. Listen to the language.
Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure.
It is sure
and steadfast.
And it is steadfast.
And which entereth into that within the veil.
So we cannot just use any and anything for our center in life. We have to make sure we find that which is not changeable, not subject to decay, something that is stable, constant, and durable. Jesus Christ and the gospel is that center around which every wise man or woman should revolve his or her life. Because when lives are built around Jesus Christ, whatever happened to you in life, Christ and the gospel can help you to find direction. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today and forever. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. Are you here tonight not a child of God? You know, the Bible talk about anchor. It's not just word of mouth that anchors our lives in Christ. It is obedience. And if you are here tonight to anchor your life in Jesus Christ, you must believe in Christ as the Son of God. You must repent of your sin. That means turn from your ungodly worldly ways and turn to Christ. You must be willing to confess with your mouth Jesus Christ's name as the Son of God. And you must be immersed, be baptized for the removal of your sin. Do you know what? Did you know that you can do that tonight? The Almighty God gives us a simple plan of salvation that can be obeyed anytime, anywhere. We are going to stand and sing, and as we do so, Jesus Christ calls you.
328.